This is the Geek Dads, the podcast of geekdad.com. This is episode 132, Awesome Space Shark. This is The Geek Dads, episode number 132. I'm Ken Denmead, soon to be editor-at-large and publisher of geekdad.com, and welcoming me for, is this our first podcast of the new year since we've moved? Or no, first podcast since we've moved, not of the new year.
Okay. No, we did one in March.
We have been sorely behind in catching back up with this kind of thing. So apologies to anyone who actually gets to pay attention to this and see it and hear it and whatever we can do with it. We're still figuring out things with respect to podcast feeds and so forth. So our apologies that things have been going so long. There's been a lot going on, folks. So... But welcome back. We had the time. We felt the need to finally get back and get the podcast back up and running. Hopefully, we will actually get to a normal schedule in the near future, possibly even including hip tracks, because things with Z's life are sorting themselves out. And in fact, we have some news about that, I think, coming that we could broadcast here for the first time, too. But... hi, Matt. How's it going?
aside from a cough that doesn't want to go away, not too bad, Ken.
A terrible cough that kept you from going to the White House yesterday.
Yes, it did.
I'm heartbroken about that because it sounded like it was a really good time.
I was able to go 4 years ago when they had the first White House Science Fair. And then sadly, I think I had the flu actually 2 years ago when they had the second one. So I couldn't go there and I couldn't go to the third one because I actually wasn't feeling bad, but I figured, you know, that it's probably bad etiquette to be in the press pool with about the hacking cough. It's like interrupting the president of the United States. Probably not a good thing to do as a member of the press.
I can see him. You know, he's about to engage with the amazing Sylvia, and because Sylvia from she does that great little podcast on Make. She was going to be there showing off one of her projects, and yeah, and all of a sudden. And the president said, "Somebody get that guy a cough drop." And then the Secret Service.
And then I don't get it, but then I would never get invited back.
So, yeah. Oh, gosh.
So, you know, discretion being the better part of valor, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Hey, you know what? You need to frame it correctly. Yeah, I could have gone to the White House on Monday, but...
I couldn't fit it into my schedule.
Couldn't fit it in. Yeah, it's too busy. Stuff to do. You know how that goes. Oh man, so we should tweet a little bit, but yeah, so this is so first of all, for everybody who's going to listen to this, I have no idea how this one's going to come out. We apparently have two live viewers, so welcome, viewers. I don't think we have the ability to do live chat, however, so instead of a live chat into this room, feel free to tweet us back and forth on the at Geek Dads on Twitter, and we will be able to chat with you. In fact, I think there is a person from Gygax Magazine who has joined us in the chat room. So that is an awesome thing. So things that have gone on in the last few months and things that are going forward and changes turn and face the pain, as the bail one might say. This is our first podcast as Geek Dad, having become an independent entity. There are many very boring things to be said about how we have ended up as a currently independent entity and what we're doing to maintain that and dealing with Wired and their parent company and some conflicts that are going on. The short answer is they didn't re-up our contract for one reason or another. And so we have got, you know, we had control of our domain and we have struck out on our own. We haven't necessarily been able to take all of our content with us, so we've sort of reset to zero in a certain way, but a number of you followed us, which is awesome, and we're keeping going. So there are still some things to be ironed out. Hopefully they'll be resolved in a positive manner. One way or the other, this team will continue to bring you what we do, which is blogging about being parents and geeks and everything we love. So that, as they say, is that, and so forth. David in the chat room, David on Twitter just asked, is there still a chat room? I do not think there is a chat room unless somebody wants to describe to me how to make that work on Google Hangouts for a broadcast on air. I'm not sure how to do that. If not, then we could just do this via Twitter. Make Twitter our chat room and talk to us via
via
the at Geek Dads.
I see a group chat, but I think that might just be for us.
I think that's only for us. I think that's only for us folks that are on here. So double check that while we're doing. We have a couple of people watching live. Glenn is watching. Go Faker Mage is here. Awesome. Hello. Jonathan Land fan. Awesome. Awesome to see you. And hello. And David Michael, our good friend Sales Geek, is with us. So
rep from my area.
Yeah. So that's one little thing that has happened. Something else interesting has happened over the last couple of weeks that is causing some minor tectonic changes in the geek dadoverse.
Wow, mixed.
Mixed metaphors there? What? I don't know.
Yeah, mixed sort of geologic and astronomical.
That's the problem, yeah. Interesting. From the bottom of the earth to the tip of the sky. So I will tell this story, and this story will probably get retold in a few different places. 2 weeks ago Sunday, my wife and I are out doing the grocery shopping. We're about to go into our local Trader Joe's, but my wife, who is a teacher, pops into a dollar store because there's a few things there that she can pick up for her classroom for an inexpensive amount of money. And so I stay out front to check my email. And my email comes up, and there is an email for me from a gentleman named Dale Doherty. Dale Doherty is the president and CEO of Maker Media. He is the guy in charge of Make Magazine, the Maker Faire, and that entire universe of cool stuff. Maker Faire, of course, is an event that Dad has had booths at for the last 6 years. I think we're going to have our seventh in a few weeks. And it's a fantastic event. They have them here. They have them back east. They have mini Maker Faires everywhere. And it's just a wonderful thing. These are the people that are sort of covering and reporting on and helping grow the maker movement, which is just exploding right now and is fantastic. So this email from Dale basically asks me if I want to come work for them, if I'd like to come, you know, help run their website and their outreach to their engagement with their readers and their fans and everything. And I read that email, and I read it again, and I read it a third time, and then I walked into the store while my wife was checking out, and I held it up to her and had her read it for me. And then I responded to Dale and said, I would very much like to discuss this possibility. Let's get together. And basically in the last 2 weeks, it has evolved that I am, after almost 20 years as a civil engineer, quitting my day job and getting a new day job as the editorial director for Make, which is mind-bogglingly awesome. So a week from this Friday, I will be finishing my current run. I'm going to take a week off, and then I will hit the ground running with the 5-day lead up to Maker Faire here in the Bay Area. And I'm not going to look back because this is phenomenal. This is something has dropped in my lap, which I am just ecstatic about, and which I think is the best possible thing. I have fantastic ideas that I think I'm going to bring to Make, and Make is just such a wonderful place to go work and be part of. I think it's awesome. So don't envy too much. There's going to be a heck of a lot of work in the future. I know what needs to be done and what I want to do, and it's going to be interesting, but it's a heck of a company to get involved with. And they're just sort of in an interesting way. They're in sort of a startup mode because they've only just recently spun themselves off of O'Reilly Publishing into their own entity. And so they're acting like a startup right now. And the environment is perfect for them. The Maker Faire that's about to come up is looking to be 20% bigger than it was last year, which was the biggest thing ever. So this is going to be a phenomenal show. So all that being said, Geek Dad will be changing a little. I'm still going to be here, but I need to step back a little bit. I'm not going to be, there every single minute of every day, managing every little thing and, responding to every tweet and every email that comes through and so forth. I need to let go a little because I know the new job is going to take a lot of that too. And the new job is basically going to be what I've been doing for Geek Dad times 10 at an organization with a significantly greater outward presence. So, that's going to take a lot of my time. As such, I have asked, and this good, kind gentleman has accepted, Matt Blum will be becoming the editor-in-chief of Geek Dad. So you're figuring it's about time, isn't it, Matt? I mean,
I was thinking about putting a coup.
Getting rid of the old man and...
staging a coup, but it's really hard with you across the country.
I'm going to write this ship finally. Get it going the way it should have done years ago.
Now, as I said in the email, as Thomas Jefferson once said about Ben Franklin, I could only succeed you. I could not replace him. So.
Fantastic. As it should be. Yes.
Oh, I like your Mike Wazowski cup, by the way.
Yes, thank you. It has celebratory scotch in it right now, so.
Very cool.
It's a family tradition. When my wife and I were on our honeymoon traveling the UK, I actually discovered a wonderful scotch in Wales called Dalwhinnie. It's a pretty good scotch. And so it has now become the family tradition. Every time there's something to celebrate or something in my life, like publishing a book or something like that to celebrate, my wife picks up a bottle of Dalwhinnie for me. So this is from the celebratory Ken's going to work for Make bottle of Dalwhinnie.
Cool stuff.
Which is awesome. So
I saw a lot of Mike Wazowski stuff a couple of weeks ago.
Yes. We need to hear some of that because, and in fact, you were only just up the road from me, but we just weren't able to make any sort of connection and work, because Pixar is up in Emeryville, which is only 25 miles north of where I live.
Mm-hmm. I was actually briefly in the city too, the Presidio. We went to
the Lucas.
No, actually, we went to the Disney Walt Disney Family Museum.
Right. So must have been tough.
No, it was very cool. I'll have an article about it later this week. That's when they want us to start actually promoting, because it was for Monsters University, the prequel to Monsters, Inc., which comes out in May. And I got to see the first half of it, which was very, very cool. So I can't say too much about that, although, honestly, the plot is not exactly what you'd call complicated.
They go to college. They're different people. They have conflict. Something brings them together. They resolve the conflict and persevere.
That is essentially it. Yeah. Yeah. But it's, of course, funny. It's, it does belie a line in the first movie where I think it's, yes, Sully makes a reference to how Mike's been jealous of him since the fourth grade.
Right.
you know, but which implies that they've known each other since at least the fourth grade, but and not that they met in college, but you know, they decided that we you know, they were asked about that, and they said, this, they went to, you know, John Lasseter said, you know, you make the movie that do for the story what it needs to be. If, you know, they didn't want to do Monsters Elementary, you know,
right,
that wasn't the story they wanted to tell. So they changed it. So, you know, whatever. maybe Sully was just exaggerating.
Yeah, it was hyperbole, obviously.
Exactly. I mean, that's always the problem when you do a prequel. Though that's cute.
I like the prequel. Sorry. I couldn't help it, sir. I couldn't help it.
excuse me.
It's easy to make Matt crack up now using all of the Google effects on the
The voices are, of course, outstanding. They have, obviously Billy Crystal and John Goodman are back, but they have lots of other good voices. The dean of the university is voiced by Helen Mirren, who, of course, is always outstanding. I like that it overlaps the mic. That's cool.
That's pretty good. Huh?
And Helen Mirren, of course, yeah, she's always outstanding, and she and the character is Dean Hardscrabble, is very, yeah, is very,
that's cool. A lot of fun.
Nathan Fillion actually does a voice, not a major one, but he's like the head of the basically the cool frat, the you know, the champion scarers.
Oh, course, gotcha.
The big man on campus, you know, essentially.
So Glenn just asked about our community at geekdad.hotwired.com for anyone who is still interested in that. What we have figured out, there's been a lot of confusion about what was going to go on for a little while here. Short answer is, it looks like we cannot hold on to it. I mean, realistically, I think right now it's being completely ignored by Wired. And I know there's still a few people there that are interested and active. So what we're going to try and do with our current, with the new geekdad.com site, is add a forum structure there. And in fact, we've got it in draft on our dev site, and we're hopefully going to get that up and running soon. And then we'll try and move over as much of the content, or ask for help moving over as much of the content as we can. So, and look, it's James Floyd Kelly.
Hey guys. Hey, I just sent you guys an email. I don't know if you're checking your email, but I just submitted a post.
And remember, James, you're on the air.
Oh.
Apparently, he didn't know, he was not quite aware of it.
Yeah, this is,
wow, is it?
This is
what happens when you tune in late. Oh,
exactly,
man.
So you're live and on the air with 5 viewers.
5. Wow. And those 5 now know that we come to you guys going, there's a problem.
Something bad has happened to James's posts.
No, they went live.
Oh, did you actually hit publish?
I never had the publish button, but I do now.
Yes, I changed the roles today so people could edit their stuff after they'd put it in pending. And so, and that button sort of shows up in a difficult place, doesn't it?
It does. And I clicked it and I was like, this doesn't look normal. And then I went to geekdad.com and I'm like, oh, there's my post. So that's not supposed to happen.
You want me to go ahead and pull it back, Ken?
You know what? It's perfect. Doesn't need any editing.
It's good. So it's out there.
You guys are, yeah, don't worry about it. Editors.
No worries.
No worries. It was a spoiler for the next Star Wars movie. They asked it to be held for a year, but, you know, I just went ahead and put it up.
Well, you know what? On the one hand, gosh darn it, we're never going to get anything out of that company ever again. On the other hand, oh my God, imagine the page views you were going to get off of that post.
Oh, yeah. in the cease and desist letter and the personal lawsuit against me. And then ask them.
Yeah. So to finish up what I was saying, Glenn, yeah, we're going to start forums on the new site and invite everybody to come over there. We'll you know, have a place for projects and have a place for just for general commentary and discussions and stuff. So hopefully we'll be able to keep some of the folks going who were being such great contributors over on the community site. The internet. So, James, what's going on?
It's 10:30 in Atlanta. I've got two boys put to bed, and I just wrote a post, and now I'm trying to change gears. And published it. That was so cool.
Nicely done. Well done.
The power. I feel the power now.
This mic's for you.
Oh, golly.
So I want to thank you for your post today about the whole, all of the events, which we've discovered at length or discussed at length already. So,
yeah, well, you know, it's interesting. We met at Maker Faire 2 years ago. And, and then of course I was there again last year. I won't be there this year in California. I'll be at the New York one, but it just seemed kind of, you know, it just seemed perfect that, the place I would meet you in person for the first time is now going to be your new home. So
it's fantastic.
I'm envious. I'm very jealous. I think you're going to have a great time working for that company. And,
well, obviously,
we call it a company.
It is a company now.
It is a company now. They split off from O'Reilly, and that's exactly right.
They are they soon to be we are their our own endeavor, and so yeah, and I will, you know, hopefully, because they're putting me in charge of all user generated engagement type stuff, I'm going to be able to bring some friends along to.
Yeah, did I read correctly? You just wrapped up 20 years as a civil engineer. Is that right?
Just about. Let's see. Yeah, so I got out of college in 92 and was working that year as like an assistant superintendent on a construction project. Got hired as a real engineer on a construction job in 93, and that's about right. 20 years as an engineer and finally got out. And now I'm going to go do editorial stuff, which is...
So now you're going to take what you learned and your experience. You're going to go build websites, and you're going to have to build them at three times their structural failure rate, right? Isn't that how it works?
Exactly so. And then I will charge the owner seven times our cost.
Right.
And yeah. That's how it works.
Are you going to have people standing around in like yellow vests in your office drinking coffee? And you got to have at least six or seven for every one person that's, I'm going to get in trouble for that. I know tomorrow I'm going to be getting emails. I just walked into that. Where is his email address? James Floyd Kelly. Where is that email?
Well, get him now.
Oh boy. Pay for that one.
Yeah, I hope you're not ever, you know, setting up for, you know, for like an exposition or something. You need something delivered, you know.
I probably have a family member that wears a yellow vest on at work, and I'm really gonna pay for it.
Yeah, well, you know, Snarkoways comes back to bite you eventually. You know?
Yeah.
And by the way, I have gotten some great you know, some people telling us they love the new website, Ken. The look of it, you know, the redesign. What are we calling it? The Brady Bunch? Who was that? Somebody said it was sort of the Brady Bunch theme or something like that.
The Peter Brady theme.
I think it's a little more Scooby-Doo. But
was it.
I appreciate that.
Yeah,
Scooby-Doo.
Yeah.
I'm a huge fan of Scooby-Doo, so I'll go with that. You know, for the amount of time that we had to get it together, the incredible work of Jason Krant for Teague and you know, Matt, you pulled a little weight there. Nathan Berry, who helped create our branding. We, you know, came up with we had a few different possible color schemes that he put out to us, and sort of a leadership team went through a round of Australian voting to try and come up with, you know, the most liked over the whole group, and this is what came up. It's warm, it's inviting, it's nostalgic, but it's cool, and so I'm really happy with it. You know, there are things that we'll probably tweak and adjust over the coming months. You know, not everything, you know, we got everything ready in like a couple of weeks, which is amazing. But
Matt, we should probably change it like every 2 or 3 months, Matt. Let's do a total theme change every 2 or 3 months.
That's what they taught me in doing web development, is that you should do that all the time.
Constant change is good, yeah.
I was just thinking for Scooby-Doo theme that we've missed our opportunity now for this year, of course, but next year for April Fool's Day, we should put R's in front of all the vowels. All the words that start in vowels.
Instead of talk like a pirate day, we should have talk like Scooby Day.
Talk like Scooby Day.
Right? just because Scooby has come up, I'm gonna do my little pitch here. About three to four weeks ago, time is dilated for me now with everything that's happened in the last couple. The final episodes of Scooby-Doo Mystery Inc. Showed on Cartoon Network. Once again, Cartoon Network really dropped the ball on how they presented this show.
Big fail.
It should have been, they could have run this thing one night a week in prime time, and it would have had a ginormous audience. This show finished up, and it finished up amazingly. This Scooby-Doo Mystery Inc. is the Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
The arcs, the story arcs were amazing. Yeah.
I talked to the guys a little bit, and we had a couple past posts back up on the old Wired site. These were great guys, and they approached this series. This series was a two-season series, I think about 25, 26 episodes total, and they approached this with a passion, and they wanted to write. They brought a geek sensibility to the show. It was Buffy the Vampire Slayer in many ways, and it was many other things. And it had a two-season-long ultimate uber mystery arc, with emotional journeys for each of the characters, and cameos by some of the most hilarious and wonderful members of the Hanna-Barbera universe, which just knocked your socks off when it happened as well. An incredible voice cast and just heartbreaking.
Captain Caveman.
Captain Caveman. And the dog. Blue Falcon, yeah, who else am I trying to think? I don't know. This was a mind-boggling show, and it got lost.
Super Buggy.
Yeah, yeah. This show got lost where it was put. Yeah. If you have an opportunity, I believe it's up probably on Amazon Prime, or I'm hoping it's coming to Netflix. It's available.
Well, I was actually going to ask you if you had heard when they were going to release it as a set, because you know they'll probably put some bonuses and stuff in there.
Yeah.
And I'm with you. I'm a huge fan. My son is a huge fan, and it was great.
Did they ever manage to work in Quick Draw McGraw, though? I wasn't watching, because that would have been awesome.
No, I don't remember. No, I don't think Quick Draw McGraw.
Especially if he showed up as El Caban, because that would just rule.
I won't give away any spoilers, but there was one particular episode that I know you're thinking of, Ken, where they had all these characters from our childhood, and in that one episode, it was really well done. I missed three or four of the episodes.
The Twin Peaks references.
There were a lot of adult theme. That's the wrong word. There were a lot of there's a lot of humor that an older person will get
that perfect mix of stuff that kids would love and that parents, especially people in our demographic, grew up in the mid to late 70s, 80s, early 90s. That would just everything. As I just mentioned, there's like a two episode arc. Actually, towards the end, where it's all Twin Peaks references,
and I didn't get most of those because I wasn't a Twin Peaks fan, but I knew what they were talking about because they,
including the fact that a certain actor who was the character on Twin Peaks was voicing the character on these episodes, was phenomenal.
That's cool.
And as proper. You know, the baddies were all real people masquerading.
Not real monsters. There's an explanation for everything. And
yeah,
it wrapped up. You know, like I said, I missed three or four. And so I'm hoping they're going to get this released soon because I want to watch them again with my son. And
I think the individual seasons are out on DVD. I don't know if they've boxed them yet, but yeah. Somebody can do a quick Google on this and try and find. All I can I'm sorry, if you are a geek, if you ever had a love of
Scooby-Doo
and it's a love of it. Buffy, let's primarily put Buffy the Vampire Slayer on this because there is so much of an homage to what Buffy was about, which was the group of teens.
Who called themselves the Scooby Gang.
And they call themselves, yeah, just phenomenal. Yeah. And even some of the relationships and the ins and outs that happened are an homage to Buffy. And written that well, and so much fun. That
except that the supernatural stuff was fake.
Right. No, true. Yeah,
I'll second that. I'll second that. If there's any listeners or viewers out there that have not seen Mystery Inc., it's that well done. You've gotta hunt them down and watch them.
It was very cool. Yeah, I haven't watched the whole thing yet, but from what I've seen, it was excellent.
It's phenomenal. So, you know, there's like 52 is 20. Oh, I'm sorry. It's two seasons of 23 or 24, I think. So there's something like 52 episodes, half hour episodes. So a solid 20, well, two thirds of 20, you know, so 18 to 20 hours of entertainment.
Yeah.
Find it and binge watch it. You will get hooked after about two episodes and not be able to stop. So, speaking of fun, you know what? I started watching on Netflix just because I was curious, and now my wife and I have gotten hooked. We're almost through season one of Once Upon a Time. Have either of you guys watched Once Upon a Time?
Have not.
I watched much of the first season, then kind of lost interest in it. I mean, it wasn't that it was. I just found I didn't really care that much whether I saw it or not.
Yeah, I mean, it's good. It's fun. I like what they're doing. You know, I have to, you know, I have to take that step back and say, okay, so it's in a sense a ripoff of Bill Willingham's Fables, sort of. But you know what? Those are all those characters are all in the public domain. So there's not much that Bill could do about it. But you know, all props to Bill Willingham. You know,
well, and Fables. Disney is also careful to use. You know, since it's Disney, ABC, they, you know, you notice they're using characters that they have rights to from movies and such too. That's why they have Belle, you know, and such.
That's a good point. It is ABC, so they've got some of that. Quick toss back. Our friend Randy Slavey, who is a big participant in the Geek Dad community, just tweeted, yes, 26 episodes of Scooby-Doo Mystery Inc. are available on Netflix right now. So it looks like you could see at least the first whole first season of Geek Dad, yeah. of Geek Dad, of Scooby-Doo.
can.
Sometimes mouth moves faster than brain, yes.
It happens. We, you know, you just gave a big spoiler away. The Geek Dad does have its own TV show that's going to be starting soon.
Right.
Plenty of spoilers coming.
This, unfortunately, this is the Geek Dad.
Scripted. Totally scripted.
Right, yeah.
I'm sure we're all such fine actors.
Yeah, I want to tell you guys something I've been doing recently, and I'm going to write this up for Geek Dad. Is I'm just now closing in on rewatching all of Ron Moore's Battlestar Galactica. Ooh. I decided I converted them all to I ripped them all to digital so I could watch them on my iPad.
Helps if you stop before the last two seasons.
Well, you know what? I decided what I wanted to do was I wanted to watch. You know, there was so much. Not hatred, but there was some hatred. There was a lot of negativity towards Battlestar, especially towards the end. And so I wanted to watch the whole series start to back, knowing what I know, knowing how it ends, knowing all the secrets and things like that. And I wanted to watch it and see what the early stuff, if there was any secrets or anything given away. And I'm going to tell you this. I found some things. I Googled. I would see something, and I would Google it to see, oh, somebody else had to have seen this. They had to have blogged about this. I found one the other day, and I'm going to go ahead and tell you this now. It blew me away, and it may have been accidental.
Yeah. Spoilers.
for a show that we've all watched.
It's a spoiler for a show that ended, what, 3 years ago? Deal with it. Here's the deal. The final five, right? We knew the big mystery towards the end was who was the final five Cylons, correct?
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
I'm watching one of the episodes the other day, and I will find the number if anybody needs it. Can't remember the episode name or number, but it's the one where Gaius Baltar is in the Cylon gooey bed. He comes awake. He thinks he's a Cylon, right? He wants to know if he's a Cylon. I don't know if you remember this episode, but it happened. Yeah. He comes up out of the goo, and there's all these children, and they're all like radiation scarred, and they're holding their hands. Are you with me so far?
I bet you like to call those. Yeah.
And he asks the question. He says Adama and Rosalind have him in this drug-induced they're trying to torture him for information. They've got him in this drug haze. And he comes up, and they're talking to him, and he's like, I'm trying to see their faces. And he's talking about the final five, right? And he's like, they won't show me their faces. And there's this real fast camera slide of the children standing around him. And there's like maybe five. There could be five. It's too hard to count them. But I swear, and I'm going to get a screen grab of it, one of the children – the scar children has a patch. Blew me away. I was like, holy cow. And
I think that if so, I don't think it means anything, because they've actually said that they actually had no idea who was going to be the final five.
I've heard that. I've heard Ron Moore say that they just sort of were making it up as he went, but it was so weird. I guess I'll go back and I'll tell you this. It was just so weird watching the show again. People were like, oh, Ron Moore bit the religious bullet and the ending was all this religious stuff, but go back and watch season one. And Caprica 6 tells Gaius in the first season, I'm an angel. She tells him that. And I totally had forgotten about that, totally missed that. And it's in season one. And there were a lot of other little things that I picked up on that, whether Ron Moore intentionally or unintentionally, or whether it was just coincidental, there was a lot of little things that you pick up on when you know the end and you're watching it from the beginning again. And I really enjoyed it.
Well, some of it just doesn't make any sense at all, too. I mean, the end. I was one of the people who just got disgusted at the end. I really thought the end was just total. It was a total bait and switch. Sure. Like they totally had set it up for like a decent science fictional ending, and then they just completely ruined it by making something that made absolutely no sense whatsoever.
Yeah.
I mean, well, there are so many holes. Without any explanation whatsoever for what Starbuck actually, what happened to Starbuck, or
right.
You know, where she was
an angel, what where happened did she to go? Her. Yeah.
And if they're so far in the past, then where the hell did All Along the Watchtower come from?
Right, right.
You know, well,
it's all happened before, and it'll all happen again.
Yeah, it's like Jimmy Hendrix, so many
cords that you can put around each other.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. No, it definitely jumped the shark at some point. But like I said, I wanted to watch it again, and from the very beginning, knowing the end, I wanted to see what else I could pick up. And it was an interest. I'll never do it again. Gosh, I mean, it was like, what, 70-some-odd episodes, and
Jumped the shark, but it was an awesome space shark.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. Up until the last two seasons started, it was a fantastic show.
Right.
It did kind of go off the rails though.
Yeah.
Really? Actually, was it at the end? Was it then? whenever Starbuck, really when Starbuck came back.
When she came back and looks and waves at, I found Earth. Let's go.
Yeah, really, it's like, yeah. What the?
No. Yeah.
Okay. If you're gonna kill her, fine, but don't pull this crap.
Wow, there's still a lot of geek bitterness out there.
There is holy so cow. Much bitterness.
Yeah, well, because it was such a good show.
As David Michael says in the chat room, Hendrix was Ty. Duh.
he was. And you know what? Here's another thing. You watch the whole episode. Ty gets his butt kicked constantly. He gets punched by this person, by that person. I was amazed at how much of a punching bag he was from episode one to the end. I mean, he got beat up every time he turned around.
Pretty much.
Well, not beat up. He was always taking a punch from somebody.
It's amazing he only lost an eye.
Exactly. Yeah, but, you know, to take a step back, the reason I rewatched it was, you know, Ron Moore has a new show called Helix.
Helix.
And I saw the preview for it the other day, and, you know, it's not much. I mean, you can't tell a whole lot that's going on, but it had X-Files element with a little black, you know, line running down the guy's face, and it takes place in Antarctica, I guess.
Speaking of new SF shows, have either of you watched Defiance?
No. Got to report it. Haven't watched it yet.
Heard not bad stuff about it.
It's not spectacular, but it's got real promise. It's got some good acting in it. I like the premise. I don't know if you know as much about the premise, but it's supposed to be, you know, near future, where this group of aliens. It's basically this aliens from the star system, where there were a bunch of different alien races on different planets, some of whom got along and some of whom didn't get along all that well, but their star exploded, and so they all kind of banded together and they went on these arcs, and they basically found Earth, and they were allowed to settle on Earth in, I think, Brazil, they said, and they but then there was one of the arcs that was still in orbit exploded, and we don't know if it was sabotage or whatever. And anyway, it ended up sparking a war. Lots of both humans and the aliens died. Then more of their ships fell, and they had terraforming stuff on them, which automatically started terraforming Earth, thus altering Earth in lots of different ways.
All this was in the first 2 hour.
Some of that's in like back stuff that I've read elsewhere, this is all after that's happened, and there's various, you know, communities that have sprung up here and there, and people, you know, fighting for survival, and there's basically the Defiance is a town that has sprung up where St. Louis used to be.
You can still
see the Gateway Arch. But every, you know, the rest of it's gone essentially. And, but there's, you know, there's aliens living with humans, and they don't always, you know, they don't always get along, and they have their own customs and such. And, you know, I mean, it's got little elements of, you know, frontier things, and, you know, the hero is, you know, he's an ex-Marine, and, you know, he's a good tracker, and he knows how to fight, and you know, he goes to there, and some of it's very predictable. You know, the first episode, you know, you know he's going to turn out, he's going to become the sheriff, basically. It's telegraphed a mile away.
So we've got basically post-apocalyptic alien-infested Deadwood.
In some ways. I mean, it's not Deadwood, but it's got science fiction elements to it. I mean, the different alien races and the ways that they're different are kind of cool.
This is the TV show that's also got a video game running parallel, right?
I believe it does, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know anything about the video game. I just remember there were a lot of advertisements saying, you know, play the game, watch the show, and...
Yeah, my understanding is, so the video game is actually set in San Francisco, but in parallel with what's going on in the TV show, and that at some point, what happens in each will affect the other.
I'm sure that's true. But anyway, I mean, I haven't played the game, but the TV show is pretty good.
You convinced me. I've got it recorded. I'm going to watch it.
I particularly like the alien race. I can't remember which one they are. They're all called the Votons together, but there's several different... I think they said there's seven different races, one of which is this automatons. They're called the Volge, who are nobody likes, but they're basically war machines that go around killing people, which they are. And but they're one of the races, obviously the most technologically advanced. They have like cybernetic implants and such, and they have no hair, and just they're very well done, and the doctor in the town is one of them, and she's she's got an attitude, like, but like beyond acerbic. She's I really like the actress they got to play her, and hard to tell. I have to look up who she actually is, because you can't really tell under all the makeup, but
maybe sci-fi is actually getting back to, you know, science fiction.
It's not, you know, it is genuinely science fiction. I mean, there's no doubt about that. It's got real promise. I mean, it's not all the way there yet. It's got, it has problems. It's a little too predictable so far, but it has promise. It has some good people. Graham Greene is one of the main people in the town, and he's always good at things that he's in.
Oh yeah.
He's always really good. So
I've got one episode recorded. Have I already missed episode?
You've missed one. Then yeah, there was the 2-hour premiere, and then the second episode was last night.
Okay. Well, sci-fi reruns a lot, so I'll catch it again. Mm-hmm. All right. Okay.
Good stuff.
Defiance, yeah.
Yeah, I recommend it.
There you go.
All right. I can't think of a lot more. We got anything coming up in the near term that we should make people aware of?
Other than that, I'll have a post about Monsters University before the end of the week.
Okay.
Free comic Saturday, or free comic day, is the first Saturday of May. That's right.
Oh, excellent.
Two Saturdays.
Oh, yeah. And of course, May 4th is Star Wars Day. May the 4th be with you.
Absolutely. In fact, I think we have something working for that. I think we're going to come up with a Star Wars Day gift guide.
Yes, it's so hard. It's hard to come up with Star Wars merchandise, man.
It really is. It's such a dearth. Such a dearth Vader of... No.
Yeah, I know. Merchandise for Star Wars. It's a tough call.
Start writing down possible episode titles, so you know.
Now, I don't know if it's as big as Free Comic Day, but I also did it in June. I want to say it's June 15th, but that I'll have to check the date. There's the free RPG Day. They've got a, you know, comic book and game shops are going to be giving away free RPGs.
But didn't we already have free tabletop day? So you know,
that's also
these gamers just asking for a little too much time.
That's right around when Star Trek opens too, which
man, we could spend an hour talking about that one. I am so ready for that one.
Oh, we will. Yes, we will.
And of course, Iron Man 3 opens on May 3rd.
Have either of you seen Oblivion? I want to go see it this weekend. And I read Eric Wex. Was it Eric that reviewed it?
I think so.
I read part of his. I was kind of nervous about getting too deep into it, but definitely want to go see it.
I'll wait for it to
come out. It's every post-apocalyptic.
It's hard for me to spend that much money to go see a movie starring Tom Cruise.
Yeah, true.
There's that.
Yeah.
It has to be.
I will say, though, it special. Really looks good.
I would say it was for Morgan Freeman.
There you go.
Yes, because he's in so few things.
That's what geeks tell us. Exactly. We're going to see it for Morgan.
I'm here for the Freemans.
Yes.
It applies to movies and a couple of
videos. And video games.
Yeah.
And we'll see. We said Star Trek, and then Iron Man 3 was what's the date on that one again?
May 3rd.
Oh yeah, that's close. Wow. Okay.
That's the next big one.
Next,
yeah. Winter Soldier's coming, and Much Ado About Nothing.
Yeah, that's in June 9th, I think.
Uh-huh. Is that coming to theaters, or is he going to release that online?
It's coming to theaters.
It is. Okay. I'll be curious to see his take on that.
Well, have you seen the preview? I haven't, but
you know, I was an English major in college, and that is absolutely one of my favorite.
The trailer is outstanding. It's on Apple Trailers. Go watch it.
I'll have to go check it out. Yeah, I must have missed that. I don't know how
that was fun because
it was posted on Geekdom.
Amy Acker is one of the two leads in that.
She's Beatrice, yeah.
And she pops up in an episode of Once Upon a Time in the first season. I was like, it's Amy.
Oh, and what's his name? Oh man, the one who's married Allison Hannigan.
Mr. Allison Hannigan.
Yeah.
Alexis Denisov.
He's
Alexis Benedict. Denisov.
Yes, that's right. He's Benedict.
Right.
And Nathan Fillion is Dogberry. So, you know, it doesn't get better than that, really. It doesn't.
I know. Nathan's got the summer coming because he's in the sequel for Percy Jackson, too.
Oh, that's right.
Is he really?
Yeah. And he does the voice in Monsters University.
He's got it going on.
And, you know, he's got a hit TV show, which doesn't hurt either.
Whatever that's all.
Ken or Matt, well, y'all got to get your fingers out there and get him on the show one night. That would be a great idea. You'd be having people clamoring. I mean, you'd have to be turning people away from this thing.
I will continue to work on the opportunities that arrive to me. You know,
I did get to interview him a couple of years ago, but
I don't know that much about his personal life. Is he a dad? Does he have kids?
No.
No. Okay. Well, yeah. Yeah.
Never been married. Doesn't have kids.
Okay. See, I figured I'd done well enough when I got Nathan or when I got David Hewlett on.
But that was a good. That was a good. Good catch.
A decent get. But
yeah, that was really good.
Got to keep upping the ante.
And hands down, he's my favorite actor or my favorite character in the Stargate universe. I mean, who doesn't love Rodney?
Yeah. Exactly.
I miss that show. I miss that whole universe. Oh well.
You know, there's a new iPad game. Came out about 4 weeks ago or so. It's sort of FPS.
Is it?
Yeah, but they all did voices on it.
Is it the one where you're playing Teal'c?
No. You play. I don't know. At the start, I think you're playing Jack, but.
No, I didn't. Wasn't aware of that. Not into the games. Just loved the show. Loved all the series. They were good storytelling.
Yeah.
I was really liking Universe and was very sad that they canceled them.
Too very soon. Sad.
Yeah, because they left all the plot lines.
We'll never know what happened to Eli.
I know. It was really warming to that show, but
we'll just say that he fixed that pod and he got inside and he made it to the other side of the galaxy.
Well, you knew he was gonna make it. I mean,
did he? I mean, come on. You know, he was the smart one, and he sacrificed himself so that, you know, Dr.
He was too integral a character for them.
So you think if they'd have come back with a second season, they would have found – well, yeah, at Stargate, of course they would have found a way to survive him.
All right. I have to now publicly thwap David Michael because he says, but when will you bring Scott Johnson on the show? You know, trying to tie together your professional connections here, man. I don't know. Besides, you know, Scott Johnson, he's such a podcasting pro. I'd obviously be intimidated to have him on our podcast. So I don't think that can happen. Sorry.
You had Stephen Toulouse on the like I've never know how to pronounce his last name on the show.
Yeah,
he's certainly a podcasting pro. So.
That's true. That's very true. A man I would never want to face over Xbox Live.
No. I dare say not.
I dare say not. No. All right, gentlemen. I think we've utilized an excellent amount of time here. I will also just simply point out that we are, for those that can make it, we are just 3.5 weeks away from Maker Faire here in the Bay Area. And even if I were not actually going to work for the company that's putting it on, I would be encouraging folks to come out to Maker Faire because there will be a booth there. And yeah, I can say this in all honesty. I love Maker Faire. Maker Faire is an awesome experience, especially for families and geeky families. And if you have a way to get to it here in the Bay Area, please do. Or in September, it'll be in New York, in lovely Queens. So
you should be there, right, Ken?
Wait, where's lovely Queens?
Wherever
Maker Faire. Where's Ken's email? I'm going to email him. I'm telling you, here they come. Here come the emails.
Because I'm just wondering, I've been to Queens.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm sure wherever our own Dave Giancaspro lives is a lovely part of Queens.
Does he live in Queens?
Yes, he does.
You'll be there?
The one thing New York? I am 99.44% 100% pure certain that they will probably have me there helping out at that one. The one I'm really hoping for is the first ever European Maker Faire in Rome in October. Mm. I have no idea how they're handling that one.
Hope the Pope shows up. That would be really cool. That would be awesome.
Electric Pope mobile will be shown up at the...
Yeah, I'm sure he's a big fan of DIY.
Well, remember,
he's a Jesuit.
He wears a watch, a mechanical watch. He's a
scientist, man. He'd totally be into it. Really? He was a teacher. He was a he majored in chemistry in school. He's a Jesuit. He's totally into that kind of thing.
Well, to a degree, yes.
Yeah. Can you imagine the security that would need? I mean, make would turn him away. No, can't.
Yeah, come. Sorry, we can't do it simply because we'd have to turn off the Tesla coils. It's just not.
Right. Oh, yeah. Oh, and he might come for that. That would be awesome.
That's true. Yeah, who knows?
They could do Hallelujah song instead of the Doctor Who theme song or something.
Yeah. We are getting desperately close to blasphemy here, and I think I will avoid that.
Let's do the scoreboard. Who's going to get more emails tonight? No.
I'm perfectly comfortable with blasphemy.
Yes, I understand you are. Let's have a talk offline about your responsibilities as editor-in-chief of the blog now, Matt. All right. Well, then let's call this a good podcast. Thank goodness we're back, and hopefully we're going to keep this up regularly in the near future. At least we should be back in 2 weeks with a new, 2 weeks we should be good for another Geek Dads podcast, and soon for a new Hip Tracks, I'm pretty sure. Until then, I'm going to thank you. Matt, it's good to see you again, man.
Good to see you, too.
And congratulations. I am so happy that you will be stepping into the editor-in-chief role.
Thank you, and a huge congratulations to you, too. I'm extremely envious of your new role.
Life is amazing.
The rest of us have kind of got a secret email going. We're going to start submitting our posts to Matt with so many spelling and grammatical errors to make him feel we're gonna needed. Ease up after a while, but we want to make him feel right. needed.
Exactly. That's a good idea. I like that. Make sure, lowercase words in the titles and forget the excerpts and all of that.
Right. Double quotes, commas everywhere.
Hot link to images. That's important. That's right. Right. Okay. Excellent. James, thank you so much for dropping in.
Yeah, sorry I was late.
No problem. It helped. It helped, definitely. The folks that joined us in the watching live, thank you guys. I know Dave and Michael was there. I know Glenn was there. our representative, it's terrible. I blanked on the name. Silver. I know your last name is Silver. I'm sorry. Our friend from Gygax Magazine joined us, and I wish we had. We're going to figure out how to do a proper.
She's,
you know who it is?
I don't have my Twitter account live, but yeah, she's. I believe I know who that is. I was going to ask her when the next issue is coming out. Should be in May. The first one came out about February 20th, so March 20th, April 20th, May 20th. I would just go on by 3 months.
Susan,
there it is. Yes,
Susan. I think that was her.
You were quicker on your Google than I was on my checking my mail. Susan, I'm so sorry. Thank you for joining us, and everybody who gets a chance to listen, thank you so much. Thanks for sticking with us. I'm Ken Denmead. Soon to be editor at large, publisher of geekdad.com. This has been The Geek Dads, episode number 132. Thanks so much for joining us, and so long. We will see you next time. So long, everybody.
Bye. All right. Geek Dad.